Well, and the other interesting thing with that I'm still figuring out, and honestly, I think my coach is with me, is that as I continue to age, especially as a female, and I'm not in menopause yet, but and I'm not even perimenopausal yet. However, hormones still play a factor, and they are shifting. I mean, it's coming at some point, right? Yeah, they're shifting, and that's playing a factor on my energy levels and how I feel, and also how I peak is different now. Like before, I could do speed, you know, I could throw in a speed work every week for 8 weeks, maybe even 10 weeks before I would peak, right?
Okay.
Now, it seems like it's much shorter. Now it seems like once I've done about 6 weeks of speed work, I need to have that big race, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Or if I keep going, what happens? I flatten out.
Hi, my name is Pete McCall, and welcome to this special Mother's Day episode of All About Fitness. That voice you heard in the beginning is Sonia Friend Yule. It's a lot of fun to catch up with Sonia in this episode because besides being a mother, and that is the most important job in the world, besides being a mother, Sonia is a master trainer, she's a personal trainer, she's a running coach, oh yeah, and she just won a world championship. I'm not going to spoil that. I'm going to let her talk about the title that she just won. But one of the reasons why she's on this episode right now is I want you to hear what's possible. We hear all these excuses about, I don't have time for this, I can't do that, or I don't have that. Sonia's in her mid-40s. She's a mother. She's a career woman. She's busy. I work with her. I know how busy she is. Yet she still found time to train and win an international championship in Masters Running. So on this episode of All About Fitness, it's a lot of fun to catch up with international track champion, master trainer, and most importantly, mother, Sonia Friend Yule. If you're looking for that perfect piece of fitness equipment for your home or fitness studio, go to terracorefitness.com. That's T-E-R-R-A, corefitness.com, and check out one of the hottest new products on the market. The TerraCore can be used as a bench, a step. You can use it as a HIIT training tool. You can use it for metabolic conditioning. Whatever you want to do, you can do it on the TerraCore. Go to terracorefitness.com. Use code AAF. That's AAF to save 10% on the purchase of a TerraCore. And to check out what you can do on the TerraCore, go to Instagram and check out TerraCore Fitness on Instagram. That's TerraCore Fitness on Instagram. If you need that perfect set of weights for your home, but you don't want a bunch of iron laying around getting in the way, go to hyperware.com and check out softbells and sandbells. Both softbells and sandbells provide a number of options for strength training, yet they do not do any damage to your home, office, or fitness studio. I mean it. I've been a big fan of softbells ever since they were introduced. I use them in my book, Smarter Workouts, The Science of Exercise Made Simple. You can check them out there. I'm a huge fan of the products. Both softbells and sandbells provide a number of fitness solutions, which is why I'm so stoked they're a sponsor of All About Fitness. Go to hyperware.com, use code AAF10, that's AAF10, to save 10% on the purchase of any hyperware product. Now, you do not have to be a personal trainer or fitness instructor to attend the IDEA World Convention. This year, the IDEA World Convention is happening in Anaheim, California from June 26th to 30th. And you'll be able to see, if you enjoy All About Fitness, if you enjoy a lot of the guests I have on here, guess what? You'll be able to see a lot of them at this year's IDEA World Convention. Listen for after the interview, and I'll give you a special code that you can use to save a little bit of money on this year's convention pass. Again, that's IDEA World 2019. I'm going to have a link below in the show notes. And listen to the end of the interview, and I'll give you a special code that you can use to save on this year's admission to IDEA World. I'm Pete McCall, All About Fitness. I'm here with a good friend, Sonia Friend Yule. Sonia, can you let listeners know, because you've recently done something that's really, really cool. What you recently returned from, what did you return from and what did you achieve?
Well, I'm just returned from Europe. I was in Torin, Poland 2 weeks ago. I was there for a full week competing with the USA Track and Field Masters team. So Masters is 40 and over, and it was the World Championships for Masters Track and Field. So there's a just as powerful, awesome, large contingent of Masters runners. It's global. And so there's national championships in each country. And then every other year, there's an outdoor world championship. And then the alternate years, there's an indoor world championship. So this was the indoor world championship for 2019. And it was in Torin, Poland, which is about 3 hours from Warsaw.
Cool. So. And how'd you do there? Because that's the thing. I mean, listeners, I've known Sonya for a few years, and I don't think you're shy, so you're not going to talk about it. But I mean, come on, this is really cool. What happened there?
Well, I was very excited. I was world champion in the 800 meters in my age group. So I'm 48, so it was a 45 to 49 year old age group. And the most exciting thing about that win was, because, you know, a gold medal is great and winning is great, but I like to run fast and I like to run well. Like forever, whatever my age is, you know, whatever effect that has on it, I like it when I know that I faced the challenge and come out on the other side and done a good job. So to me, what was great about that race in particular was that it was a fantastic race. Like I went into it, of course, you know, there's always a little bit of anxiety and nerves, and that's a very big stage. So, and I had went into it with a hamstring injury, that was, you know, about 80% when I got there. Thankfully, one of their, physios, is fantastic. And she really helped that quite a bit. So by the time I raced, it was about 95%, healthy. But I also was sick when I went there. I had actually caught just upper respiratory virus the week before, unfortunately. So I was coughing all night, every night. But I pushed through, and I had this fantastic 800 meters where I went in. The gun went off, and all the worry and anxiety went away. And I just went into, you know, go mode. Ran 2:17, which is a decent time. I led from wire to wire. The Australian was, she's a proficient, she's very good at the 400 meters as well as the 800 meters, so I knew she would have a kick, and I wanted to make sure that I took it out of her as much as possible.
Nice.
So we went out in like 66, 67 for the first quarter, and I was still leading, and I felt good even through 600, and then just knew I had to maintain my turnover to win, so I did. It was great. And 2 days later, I was second. I earned a silver medal in the 1500 meters. That one I didn't feel as dominant in, for sure. Even in second place, I didn't feel like it was as good of a race. But quite honestly, I've struggled with that event this year. It's usually my best event, the 1500, the mile. And this season, it's just been, it's been tough. It's been, I think because it's that 5 minute barrier is such a big deal. And I've always been able to break it since my freshman year in college. And this is the first season I'm really struggling to break 5 minutes in a mile. And it's frustrating, and it makes you kind of question, you know, okay, well, is this the aging thing? Is this because at some point that's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to run for something anymore. I haven't accepted that it's now, though. I think that there's some gaps in my training that occurred because of work travel.
Let's take a second. So for listeners, I mean, I know your schedule because I know we were at Ursa together, and then you only had a small block of time. And Ursa's, you know, big trade show for the health club industry. You travel a lot for work. You were sick.
What got me sick, the plane ride
and
home.
You won the 800, and you won the 800. So it's like, okay, you're world champion 800.
Yeah.
You came in second in the 15.
Yeah.
You didn't have the best race. That's where, you know what, you need to chalk it up and say, look at what you had
True.
Done in the weeks leading up to that.
True.
And that's hard because when you're a runner and you're so focused on that, I think you narrowed in on what you want to do that sometimes I think it's hard for you, Sonya, to take a step back and look what you really achieved.
I agree.
Like, I love it. For listeners, Sonya will run these open meets and she'll post these results on her, like, Facebook and Instagram, and I'll talk to her and she'll be a little bit, I don't want to say angry, but you'll be a little bit, but she's running against women that she could be their, you know, these are college students that you're running against.
I could be their mom. Yeah.
but you're coming in middle of the pack. You're finishing middle of the pack. I mean, come on. I mean, that is one thing. So with this, Sonya, it's like you got the world title. You got that. I mean, it's like you got to give yourself, you got to A, pat yourself on the back, and B, just take a look at what led up to that and understand you were not in the right environment to run your best.
True. And I think that, but you know, I guess my personality what makes me proficient and good in some things in my life, including running, is also sometimes a double-edged sword where it's also my nemesis, because what makes me not satisfied with the result completely is what helps me push harder and be disciplined. But at the same time, you're absolutely correct. If we don't ever stop and take a rest and recover and say, wow, this is what I did.
Look what I've done.
You have to enjoy it as well.
Because you also won. You have one or two world records?
I have one world record. Actually, I have two world records. One's shared. So I have the mile world record for indoor track. It's 444.81. That's an indoor mile. And then I was on a 4x800 meter masters team that has, we set a new world record in the 4x800 for our 40 to 44 age group. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. So, yeah, that's outdoor. That was outdoor track.
But still, I mean, yeah, a couple of world records. You're still running. Yeah. And how, you ran in college, right? So yeah. for listeners, Sonia, you've had a long running career. You started
since I was Alexa's age. I was 9 or 10 years old when I started competing. Yeah, like AAU track meets. Yeah. You know, now we have USATF Junior, but it used to be AAU. And that's where I started with the 50-meter dash, believe it or not. So come a long way since then.
What are your primary events? You said 400, 800,
15. The prime two right now are the 800 and the 1,500 meters.
Okay.
It's interesting to me that at this age, at least, as I said, you know, the 1,500 has been a bit of a struggle, but my 800 is still flourishing. And my 400 is hanging on really well. So I just think I have more propensity for that speed endurance versus VO2 max right now. So that's my coach, Andrew Begley, he's one of the head coaches of the Atlanta Track Club. And I still race for Atlanta Track Club. So what we're working on now is trying to improve my VO2 max capability, my aerobic capacity, because we understand we worked on speed quite a bit this winter. And that was with actually Coach Smoka and the FAU team where I assistant coach. He's a very proficient speed coach. And so we worked on a lot of fast stuff. And I would run do workouts with the 800-meter girls. And I think that's why I've maintained and been able to develop that speed over the season. But because of the traveling, because of different family obligations, my mileage has been lower than it would ideally be for a really good mile, like to be solid in the mile the last 3 months. And so right now, actually, that's what I'm working on. I'm getting my mileage back up to about 50 a week. And a lot of those runs are like lactate threshold, some longer intervals. I'm still keeping the short, fast stuff in there once or twice a week, just very small portion of, very small volume, because you can't do both or you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
But I know where my Achilles heel is, and we're working on that. I would really like to run under 5 again for the mile. At least once more.
But here's the thing. I'm sure you will be. And I'm sure you will be into your 50s. Yeah. It's just you got to look at your overall training load, workload, everything else. And what's been – so have you been – as you've gotten into your 40s and you're 48 years old, what have you been doing to help you maintain your speed? Like you work with the Atlanta Track – you run with the Atlanta Track Club. You're a coach at FAU.
Yeah.
Like what's been – overall, like what's been your approach to maintaining this level – high-level performance?
I mean, what I've done well is surrounded myself with people who are better than me and tried to work out amongst them as much as possible. And I've also, I do something quick every week. I do something fast every week. You know, I don't let 7 days go by without, whether it's just fast strides, short, fast hill sprints, or workout on the track, So I'm a big believer, and I've had many very renowned coaches say to me, as you age, if you don't use that speed, and you have to use it responsibly, but if you don't use it consistently, you will lose it.
For number one, you said responsibly. Number two, you said if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that is, I think, the one thing for listeners is you didn't just jump in and start running in your 40s. You've been running for 30 years, 30-something years, as you said. So you've been able to maintain it. So the cool thing for listeners is if you maintain a high-level performance or if you keep a high-level performance, you can do it. Sonia's breaking world records. But what has changed in terms of recovery? Because we know that recovery is a huge component now, and that's a conversation you and I have had ongoing for a long time now.
Yeah.
What's been, like, what's your go-to? When you can tell, do you monitor, number one, do you monitor your work volume? Do you keep a record of your workouts?
Yes.
And then what's your go-to when you start feeling yourself like you know you need to kind of, like, down-regulated a little bit?
Honestly, it's been a learning curve.
Okay.
Not just with the knowledge of and figuring out as my body's aged how to manage that, but also discipline. It's harder for me to rest and not do harder things than it is to do the workouts. I love the workouts. It's hard to discipline myself to run easy on easy days and then to not do too many speed sessions in, say, a two-week period, right? Yeah. So, but what I found is that, number one, I don't sleep enough. So I'm working on that. I have the Garmin Fenix 5, and that's been really helpful monitoring my sleep with the app. And also how many hours I need to recover, because the heart rate monitoring.
What does it measure? Real quick, does it measure heart rate variability? Does it give you a guide on variability?
It does.
And what's the benefit of that?
When my resting heart rate is above what it considers now, it monitors it for 30 days. When my resting heart rate is above what it considers my average, it's going to want me to have more recovery.
That's awesome. So it sends you a message?
When I look on the app, it'll tell me, and then it'll actually send me a notification on the watch, 24 hours of recovery recommended or 8 hours of recovery recommended.
And for listeners, heart rate variability is those individual, it's the space, it's the time between individual beats. When you have more variability between individual beats, you're more recovered, you're better recovered. And so the app, the watch and the app measure that.
Right.
And if you have less variability, if you have more space, the beats are closer together and faster, then you're overtrained. So that is so important. And how is it to take coaching cues from a watch?
I don't trust it entirely because I know it can have it. I know there's a margin of error.
Yeah.
But you know what it does? It's like anything else. It's like when I coach my training or fitness clients with their weight management. It's a mark, and it makes me more aware of it, and it keeps me more accountable to it.
And it's consistent. And if you're doing the consistent, even though it might not be 100%, you're comparing apples to apples, even though there might be a margin of error, you at least get some data.
Yeah.
And that's the hard, I think that's the hardest part about athletes like yourself, Sonia, is you're so driven for your goals. You're so driven that now that we understand more about rest, that it's hard to get in that mindset that rest can help your performance. Because you're so used to work for 20-something years, 30 years, you're conditioned to working harder to getting results.
Yes.
And to have the scientists tell you now, hey, maybe take a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
Well,
the other interesting thing with that I'm still figuring out, and honestly I think my coach is with me, is that as I continue to age, especially as a female, and I'm not in menopause yet, and I'm not even perimenopausal yet. However, hormones still play a factor, and they are shifting. It's coming at some point, right?
Yeah,
so they're shifting, and that's playing a factor on my energy levels and how I feel. And also, how I peak is different now. Like before, I could do speed. I could throw in a speed work every week for 8 weeks, maybe even 10 weeks before I would peak, right?
Okay.
Now, it seems like it's much shorter. Now it seems like once I've done about 6 weeks of speed work, I need to have that big race, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Or if I keep going, what happens? I flatten out.
Yeah, you get that.
My central nervous system
overtraining.
Is
fried. Yeah.
I flatten out. So I really have to keep an eye on that. And what I've learned is that all I need from that is about 5 to 7 days off of no running, and then another easy week of just mileage, and then I usually bounce back. But I try not to go in that hole anymore now that I've kind of figured it out.
Mm.
I try to monitor that. It's like the last frontier. Aging athletes are like this cool, like we're not a new phenomenon, but we're still kind of.
You're only a couple years older than Tom Brady.
Themselves.
I mean, when you look at it, take a step back. You're only a few years older than Tom Brady, and you're just about nine years older than Drew Brees, and they're still competing at high levels. Now, do you do anything specific? Do you do like any cryo chamber? Do you use like compression pants? Do you have any kind of strategies like that that you use regularly?
I use the sleeves regularly.
The Normatec sleeves?
Yeah.
Okay.
They make my legs feel better, so I'm assuming it.
Yeah.
And I love Epsom salts baths.
Oh, dear.
I probably don't take them enough, but that's really great.
Okay.
I love them. And I find that even just throwing in a cross training day, if my legs start to feel really heavy, but I'm trying to keep the mileage up or the aerobic capacity work up, if I do a day on the elliptical or deep water running, with a buoy, the next day I feel better again. Like my legs feel more bouncy again. So there's little tricks of the trade you can throw in there, but I believe in foam rolling and a good massage.
massage is always key. But have you done any cryo? Like right now,
I haven't done the cryo.
See, that's where the tricky thing can be. I think Sonia, because I look at you. And for listeners, when Sonia and I work together, I consider you like a thoroughbred. I consider you like an Arabian. If you were a horse, you'd sell for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Just because you're such a high level performer.
I'm the horse now that they ride next to the older mare that rides next to the young horse to keep it calm. And then we both still race,
But at the same time, but you're also a finely tuned engine. And that's where so with stuff, like when we talk about recovery and I make these suggestions like cryotherapy and stuff, I understand that in the middle of your race season, it's not the best time to try with that. because you don't want to start missing. You don't want to start, you know, but you're not going to race a Daytona. You're not going to mess your engine up,
true,
you know, right before you go in the Daytona 500. But my suggestion would
I'm curious about it, yeah.
Yeah, but for the next, like, for if there's next a phase cycle where you're going to, where you're not going to be training as high of a volume or competing in an international event, why not play with cryo a little bit?
Because some of the data on it,
what's that?
You've done it.
Yeah, some of the data on it is pretty. And some
do
of
you feel better after?
Here's the killer thing. I've only done it one time. So the theory on cryo is that when you're subjected, and cryo for listeners goes to negative 300 degrees, and you're only exposed to it for about 3 minutes. But being exposed to that much cold that quickly, all the blood rushes into your center mass.
Okay.
So that, and that's the theory about like taking an ice bath, is the blood comes into your center mass to keep your organs warm, right? It's going to protect your organs, protect your heart. And so when you come out of there and you start coming back to warm, all your body's tingling because all the blood went into your body. Then now it's coming back out. And so the theory is it's going to bring oxygenated blood out to the extremities quicker.
Okay,
that's the theory.
Okay.
Now I did it once to feel it. Was there? I mean, I felt different, but over time, I would imagine repetitive exposures one or two times a week, especially you live in South Florida when it's like a hotter running season.
Yes.
If you're training for an event that you know is going to be hotter, I would look at using cryo as a way to kind of mitigate the heat stress too.
Okay.
As maybe like do one or two sessions a week.
Yeah, there's actually a right in Boca, right in like a mile from my house, there is a boutique that has the recovery. Yeah. So I was thinking about actually contacting them and see if they wanted to do some kind of partnership.
For you? Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Post about it, you know? Because I'm curious to see, especially for masters, like recovery becomes so important.
And that's exactly it, is for people. I'm getting, so for listeners, I'm trying to arrange my schedule so I can go play an old boys rugby tournament. I'm 46 now, so I'll qualify for 45 and over. And so that's like, if I go, it's going to be.
That would be so fun.
That's going to be, but it's going to be an Aspen. So I got to have to work on, you have to work on atmosphere or elevation too.
Yeah.
So now I have to know. So now I'm looking at it. It's it's a few months out. And what I'm looking at is we're about maybe 12 to 16 weeks out. So I'm already looking at that as like, okay, if I'm going to play, I'm going to play. I don't want to just show up and like go through the motions. I'm going to train like I'm getting ready for what I used to do when I played competitively.
Yes.
You know, so I'm kind of already getting that mindset.
That's the other thing I've noticed too about as of age is that I used to be able to go in and not feel completely ready. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I would still be confident because I knew what I could muster out of myself, makes sense.
It's a confidence. You're an athlete.
And now it's I can't. I am no longer invincible. I cannot do that. And so I still have magic moments once in a while, but what I've learned is that I don't like to race feeling vulnerable.
Ooh,
I don't like it at all. But yet, and when I'm learning this from my, I'm still doing my mental work and my mental training. I use an app called Lucid. It's phenomenal for me. And that's the one thing they actually talk about vulnerability. And they say being vulnerable and opening yourself up like that is the only way you can really open up for a true victory, whether it's time, place, whatever, because that's where you're going to find out where you are. Like, can you still be in the present moment? Can you still push from that point? And can you still push through and stay positive? And their whole thing, what I love is that their premise is you're a human being choosing to compete. You know, I am not, the race doesn't define me, even as much as I might try to absorb that. So it's been really good to remember that. But it takes a lot to put your foot on that line.
And here's the interesting thing. So I interviewed a while back, and I'll send you a link to it. But Dr. Tim Noakes out of South Africa has a whole theory that fatigue is an emotion.
Yes.
So as a runner, if you can learn, get in that headspace, that mindset, that fatigue is an emotion, and that you can tolerate that fatigue, you're running a 1500 in less than 5 minutes.
Yes.
All right? So anybody, you can tolerate it. For runners like yourself, 5 minutes of discomfort is nothing, right?
Right.
You just have to be at that level.
Yeah.
So besides that, like, how important is that psychological aspect? And so before the Worlds, did you have anything specific you did before the Worlds to help get you in that mindset?
I listened to Lucid every day. I would do three or four. They're like 4 to 5 minute episodes.
Okay.
And I would do on my runs. I would play it on my warm-up and on my headphones, and I would listen to three or four every day. I studied my competitors, and I had a couple different race plans in mind.
Did you watch film on them to see?
No, I Googled them all.
Okay, no, but I didn't know if you watched video
on IAAF, the International Athletics something or other Federation, they have, all athletes that have ever competed in a national or world event, they have our history. So you can look up people's best, like times, lifetime best,
yeah, okay,
current season's best. So I looked that up. And so once I knew who actually confirmed for the meet, I decided on my final race plan. So I kind of knew going in, you know, I could study that. I could visualize that. But still,
well, how important is visualization?
I was nervous.
But how important is that visualization? And do you, I mean, how do you do your visualization?
I mean, honestly, as long as you're baseline fit,
yeah,
I think it is more than half the success. For somebody like me who's been doing this for 37 years and has raced as much as I have at the highest level, pretty much, having my mind right is almost more important than being as fit as I could be, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally.
Because my body knows what to do. There's a lot of muscle memory there. Mm-hmm. And even in the race, I've noticed if I need to, I just need to stay out of my own way sometimes, because like in that 800, I was on autopilot. Like I was super nervous before the race, and you're in this, it's just such an arena, you know, it's just such a, you're just on such spotlight in indoor track. It just can be very, it's very intense, you know? But once the gun went off, I mean, I just go into autopilot. And so it's almost like I was operating outside of myself.
Mm.
In the 1500, the same thing happened. Even though I was already in pain by like by 800 meters, I was already in quite a bit of pain, unfortunately. Yeah. And she was already, you know, about 30 meters in front of me.
Oh, wow.
The Japanese. Yeah. But I was making, like, I was kind of in a pack. And I just, I guess I decided I need to not be in this pack. I need at least try to go after her, and I made a move at the appropriate time, and it was just, again, it's on autopilot. So if you've done the work, even if you almost self-sabotage because you're so nervous or whatever it might be, have a lot of anxiety, if you've done the work prior, the good part, your subconscious will take back over.
And see, I think that's what people don't understand is, because I did this for a while playing rugby, and then I could see, you know, I could see amateur runners doing this, that they get so kind of wound up about the competition, they get so amped up.
Yeah.
Then when that gun goes off, if you're too amped up, if you're too anxious, then you've expended energy before the gun even goes off.
Right.
Where being relaxed, being in that mental state where you relax and going into a match like completely relaxed. So once upon a time, you used to listen to Metallica. Now, I listen to Eric Clapton. Like, you know, when I do go play tournaments now, I'll try to just quietly meditate and relax, you know, before I warm up, just to kind of like bring my, you know, get the parasympathetic drive out. Because I know once I get warmed up, the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight nervous system will take over. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to start my warm up already in an over anxious state. So personally, I've started listening to like more relaxing music and just chilling out before I start warming up.
Well, and what I found too is, you know, if they weren't there, I would not be running as well. If they weren't there, there would be no world championship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't run nearly as fast. So I try to go in now, and I still like to study them because listen, it's still a race.
Yeah.
I want to be strategic. I want to race a smart race. But at the same time, I go in it with, we're there to help each other. Like, you know, we're there to help each other run faster. At the end, it's anybody's game.
Yeah.
But that we're there to make each other better. I try to go in with that. When I feel vulnerable, what it is it's just a fear of failure and of letting people down. So like USATF sponsored me to go because I had the world leading times. So I felt an allegiance to that. I had to perform for them. You know, your friends have expectations of you. I left my family for a week, you know, so all of that's in my mind, like, you better make this worth it, girl. You know what I mean? So it was more of that kind of pressure than, oh, I'm so afraid. Oh, I'm so nervous about so-and-so. It's more like the pressure I put on myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the harder part, you know, and even at this age, I mean, I've been doing this for 30 some years. You think I'd have it all figured out and just going along like, yay, let's go. Because I've talked to some people who are like that now. They're like, I don't even get nervous anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah. It's just a matter. But it really is. I've found it. It's like, you know, the last time I played an old boys tournament, I literally would just kind of relax. You know, listen to some Clapton, listen to some Zeppelin, and just kind of like be totally chill. And it just made such a difference. And you're right. Because what I noticed, you know, when I was younger and when I was playing, I would rather play a better team that I knew we'd probably lose because your quality of competition is going to be much better.
Yeah.
And you get better. Sometimes I realize you get better in defeat than you do in victory.
Yeah.
You know, as an athlete, you know that if you got beat by 30 meters, okay.
You got to be vulnerable to beat. Yeah, you got it.
But now you know the next time you're on that 1,500 meter, you now have a drive. And I can tell you, for listeners, I can see Sonia, you know, watching Sonia's face and knowing Sonia as well as I know her, I can just tell that 1,500 meter is going to bother her.
Yeah.
I can tell. So we'll be talking to you in 2 years when you get the world record in the 1,500. Nutter, we get the world title.
My next age, my 50 to 54 age group. That's coming up. But also, I think that, you know what else? Sometimes it's good to take a break from something. Like, for me, that's why I've enjoyed racing the 400 a little bit this season.
Okay.
Because even though the 400 is so intense, I don't really get nervous before it. I just think it's so fun. Like, because all I'm going to do is get out hard and run as fast as I can until for one lap.
and what's the average time?
I went 62.
So 60 seconds. You can tolerate a minute of being uncomfortable.
But it's just like so ferocious and fast. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
The 1500, it's this monster of like strategy and, you know, aerobic capacity, and I know it so well. It's almost like I know it too well, and I need to turn my brain off.
Yeah.
So even stepping back from it for a little bit and focusing on some fun stuff isn't a bad
thing. And that's where I'm not a huge fan of running, but it is sometimes fun when there are the championships on or they do the Olympic qualifiers. I like the 5,000 meter and the 10,000 meter, like watching the last two or three laps and the strategy and seeing how the runners set themselves
how they
up.
Kick. Yeah.
That is like, you know, when you see that and you see the pacing and you see, that's when it gets fun, and that's when it gets a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's when it gets exciting for me. Now, we're going to wrap this up because I know we got dinner plans coming up. But recently there was some controversy about, I saw you, there's a social media post that there's a woman competing at your level that has some controversy that she'd kicked somebody else or... you had run against her or competed against her.
Oh.
And so I was going to ask, how much does that happen at Masters? Because you're talking about the camaraderie, and I'm sure it's competitive, but is there anything like that? And because you talk about being drug tested. So I guess the question is, how much do you have to worry about like cheating and that gamesmanship and stuff running at these Masters events?
Honestly, I don't see a lot of that at Masters. The issue with that female is not that happened in open competition. She, and I don't know how old she is right now. I think she's older than me, so she probably is a master.
Names,
but it has nothing to do with Masters competition. She just, in my opinion, a poor sport.
Yeah.
It's poor sportsmanship. She's tested positive for drugs. She's still, as far as we know, is not honoring that. You know, and she's. Yeah, she commits violations in the middle of races.
Yeah, that's what your
she
post
gets
was.
She gets physical in the middle of races.
Yeah, like cooking and pushing, and
that's in a road race, which is just insane. Because here's the thing: middle distance racing, it gets a little physical.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to cry about that because we all know that's the deal.
Yeah.
There's going to be spiking. There's going to be some elbows.
Like
it just is what it is. As long as it's not, you're not shoving anybody.
Just like for listeners, all of a sudden, Sonya getting a little bit more. You're kind of in your tough girl stance.
Yeah.
I don't see your tough girl stance
it's
that often.
It's part of it, and nobody means anybody harm. But on the same point, if you're not going to go faster, get out of my way. Like that's kind of the mentality.
See, I like that attitude.
Yeah, but no, that was completely separate.
Yeah.
And the drug testing in Masters, you know, I'll be very honest and transparent. I support the drug testing when they're going after something specific, like a stimulant. Or steroid use or something like that. My issue with it in Masters is for, you know, our 70, 80-year-old men who need some testosterone.
Yeah, okay? 70, 80-year-old guys.
Or they need, you know, whatever, DHEA or whatever that is, and they're being denied, so their health is going to suffer because they still want to compete. And USA Track and Field will say to them, well, then you can take it, but you're not going to compete at these meets. I don't think that's fair. I think there should be a clause, and I think Masters are going to keep rising up against it because there's a lot of vocal.
Yeah, because once you get over the age of 60 or 65, you need TNGH to help
the repair. I think there should be a level that you can, if you need a supplement, but here's a level. And they can pick the age that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think in certain circumstances, they go a little too far. I think USADA goes too far. In the Masters world.
Yeah.
But overall, I do support the drug testing. Of course, we should be clean.
Yeah. And that's an important, you know, component to have.
Yeah.
Now, for this, I mean, can you point to any one thing that you think has helped you kind of succeed like this in the last, you know, last couple of years? Because, you know, you do a lot of travel. Sonya, you know, for listeners, Sonya travels quite a bit. We both work together teaching these conventions and workshops and stuff. So we're on the road quite a bit.
Yeah.
But what's been like the one thing that's really, that you feel has like helped you achieve this level of success?
Honestly, I have a great support system. So it's fragmented, but it's there. And what I mean by that is, number one, my family. I mean, my husband Brad is great. He lets me travel, but he supports it, and he fills in the gaps when I'm not there. I have a coach, you know, that's far away but still supports me, and a track club that supports me, whether it's with travel, funding. They're behind me. That's Atlanta Track Club. And then FAU. I mean, I live 3 miles from a track. I have a team that I get to travel with. And, you know, I do what I can to help out. But honestly, they give as much to me as I give to them. via support. So I think all that together, combined with my drive to still want to do this, and the Masters community, having a, that's probably the biggest one, like having a venue.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, sure, I can still just compete in college meets, but I'm going to get crushed every time now. It's nice to have a community of people
and
help me feel this is still worthwhile.
Well, and how large? I was going to, well, that's one of the questions I want to ask. How large, you know, for your age group, and you're 46 to 49 or 45 to 49?
I'm 45 to 49.
Okay, so and so 48. How many, so at these meets, like how many runners in the U.S. do you think are there? I mean, I'm just curious. I don't know much about it.
When you look at the, we have something called mastersrankings.com.
Okay.
And it's global, but you can also separate it by country.
Okay.
But I mean, for global, like when you look at the 800 meters per, like in my age group ranked, I mean, there's 100 names on there.
Oh, wow.
We took over 220 team members to Turin.
Oh, wow.
Just from the U.S. alone.
Okay.
So, and that's just a small
Masters.
Portion that could travel. There are hundreds in the U.S., you know, so it's a big group. And,
cool.
And it's global. I mean, if anybody ever feels like, just kind of demotivated or not inspired to continue with their athleticism or their workouts, Google Masters Track and Field and look at what you will be so inspired. I mean, there are, I'm not kidding, 85-year-old women out there running, racing the 60-meter hurdles. They're hurdling and they look good doing it.
Yeah.
They're 85. I can't even hurdle in practice. So that's pretty impressive.
And I talk about this on the podcast, but Sonia, I'm a couple years younger than you. I'm 46. Yeah. And I sprint, now that my ankle's healthy and my knee's getting back again, I try to sprint one or two times a week. You know,
yes.
And it's like my goal is to be, I want to start racing Masters Track when I'm in my 70s. I have never been fast.
It would be awesome.
But you know what? If I maintain, I can maintain where I am for 25 years, 24 years, I know I'll see you at the Masters Track meets when I'm in my 70s.
And you know what? This community is amazing. The camaraderie. I mean, nobody cares. You don't have to be great.
Yeah.
You just have to have the, you have the desire to do it. There are people there that will support you, and they'll show you the way. I mean, when we were watching the men's 70 to 79, they were doing their 800.
Yeah.
And I mean, these guys are just coming around in their uniforms, you know, and I'm like, this is so awesome. The crowd was just going crazy for them. So there's a lot of respect.
Huh.
There's no
judging. Maybe
I'll
start a little bit younger. Maybe I'll start in my 50s.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
I'm
just thinking now, you know.
Yeah, and it's
cool.
It's fantastic. It's a really great, I'm so fortunate that my sport has that venue, and I can keep going if I choose to.
And now you work as a private coach, right? Do you do private coaching online? And how does that work? How do people find out about that?
They could go to www.therunningwarrior.com, and I coach runners anywhere from, you know, track, obviously, up to the marathon, online and live if they live in Florida. And then I, for my training and fitness coaching, it's fitwithsonia.com.
Okay, so you do online
Running
stuff.
Running Warrior and Fit with Sonia.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, Sonia, I appreciate it. And congratulations on the world title. That is so awesome.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And if people want to follow you on Instagram, because I love some of the posts that you put on Instagram, and you do everything on there from your race results to your family.
Yeah.
Oh, and congratulations on your older daughter. So for listeners, your older daughter, where did she just get accepted?
Gator. She's going to be at University of Florida. Gator.
University of Florida. And she got, it was. Because she got an academic scholarship.
Scholarship, yeah.
That is so cool.
She's very smart. I'm very fast. She's very smart.
And that's that is so cool. So you did that. So you're a work. You're a career woman. You have two kids. Your older daughter's getting ready to go to college.
Yeah.
And you just won a world title.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. I think if you want to put your feet up for a week or two, you can kind of do that.
After I'm glad to be going home after this conference, yes.
Yeah, but I look at Sonia. I can say put your feet up for a week or two, but I'm looking at Sonia, and there's a gleam in her eye. There's a little glint in her eye. She ain't going to do it.
No. I'll take a little bit of rest.
Yeah, theoretically, you know the benefit of it. Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
Whether you are a fitness enthusiast, a trainer, or instructor, you can join us this year at the Idea World Convention in Anaheim, California from June 26th to 30th and use code PETE19, that's PETE19, to save $30 off the price of this year's Idea World Convention. And if you do it before May 17th, you can take advantage of special early bird pricing. So before May 17th, use code PETE19, you get early bird pricing, and you save $30 off the registration. After May 17th, just use code PETE19 and you'll save $30 off the registration for Idea World 2019. That was a lot of fun catching up with Sonia. And one of the reasons I wanted to interview her was to set it up because, you know, when we look at all this stuff out there, when we look at people that, you know, talk about why they don't have it, why they can't exercise, one of the things that you hear is, I don't have time. I can't make time. I don't have time. Guys, listen, after talking with Sonia, I feel like I don't do enough in my day. You know, Sonia works, she travels quite a bit. She and I, we're master trainers for Core Health and Fitness. Sonia does a lot of the Star Track, which is a treadmill work, obviously because she's very fast. But we both do the high-intensity interval training with Stairmaster, which is one of the Core Health and Fitness brands. But we've worked together maybe now 5 or 6 years. And part of our job is we travel the world teaching workshops, teaching trainers how to use this equipment. So when Sonia does that, I mean, she had just been in Germany prior to being in Poland. She was in Germany representing Core Health and Fitness. And before that, she was in San Diego, and she lives in Florida. So this is a woman who travels nationally and internationally for work, but also finds time to compete at a relatively high level. She's not just doing a 5K fun run on the weekends. She's out there mixing it up. And I really invite you, follow her on Instagram, because I mean this. One of my favorite things to do in the spring and summer is I'll check out Sonia's feed, and she'll complain about coming in, like, and she'll finish like fifth or sixth in a race against 20-somethings. She'll go to an open college meet, and she'll race women young enough to be her daughter, literally, at 48 years old, and she finishes halfway through the pack. I think that's amazing. And what that says to me is time is not an excuse. What it matters is priority. If you make your health and fitness a priority, you do not, I want to emphasize that, you do not have to train. You do not have to try to be a world champion like Sonia. She is a freak. She's been doing this her entire life. You do not have to train to be a champion. That's not what I'm saying. But what you can do is take a look at your schedule, take a look at your life and say, okay, where can I find time? Where can I find time to be active? It's not just about exercise. You don't need to go for a run. Take a walk around your neighborhood. Grab your kids. Walk to the park. Walk to the playground. And then put your phone down and play with your kids. If you do nothing else, do nothing else. If you start doing that for 15 or 20 minutes a day, walk down to your neighborhood park, play with your kids, be active with them, walk back home 15, 20 minutes a day. You know what, folks, in a few weeks, you'll feel better. It's not just about losing weight. It's not about having a certain appearance. It's about how you feel. And you can use exercise to slow down the aging process. I'm serious. I am not a master's. Well, I play master's rugby. I compete in master's rugby, but I don't compete in track. But I sprint enough, and I'm not fast. I know that. I do want to start doing master's events when I get a little bit older because, look, other people my age are getting slower. Other people my age aren't working out. But I plan on working out well into my 70s, 80s, 90s. Hell, they'll have to put me in the ground with a kettlebell in my hand. And I'm serious about that. Because as I go older, I am not backing off on intensity. You know, you heard Sonia talking about her training. It's not about backing off on the training, but it's about being smarter. Now that we're a little bit older, we know how to train a little bit smarter. It's not just slamming our head into the wall 6 days a week. You know, look, when I was in my 20s, I was playing rugby. I trained hard every day. And I know I was overtrained. Now that I'm in my 40s, I still stay in shape. I still work out very hard. 2, maybe 3 days a week. Literally. You know, 2, maybe 3 days a week are my hardest workouts. Every other day, just nice and easy, kind of moderate. If you want to learn about that schedule, you can pick up my book, Smarter Workouts, The Science of Exercise Made Simple. I go into how you plan a schedule for your life, and I teach you how to alternate the intensity of exercise so you don't need to do high intensity everything. There's my plug, Smarter Workouts, The Science of Exercise Made Simple. Buy it. It'll be in the show notes. But back to your plan. You don't have to train it to be a world champion. You don't even have to try to. But what you should do is try to find that time in your schedule of when you can get out and be more active, when you can get out and do the things that you want to do, when you can get out and enjoy things with your family. I wanted to interview Sonia because I want you to hear that it's possible. It's possible to have a career. It's possible to be a parent. And it's possible to do the things that you enjoy. You can hear the joy in her voice when she talks about competing. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but she likes being fast. That's going to keep her motivated. And being around people like that keeps me motivated. Having them as guests on my podcast hopefully helps you stay motivated. And I mean it. Come to Ideal World. You do not have to be a trainer. You do not have to be an instructor in order to get some great benefits. If you're a fitness enthusiast, if you love exercise, if you like to sweat, Ideal World is the place to go. There'll be a link for it in the show notes. You can use code PETE19 to save on admission for it. It is going to be a great place to learn everything you thought you wanted to know or didn't know you needed to know about fitness. Thanks for stopping by, and I look forward to having you join me for future episodes of All About Fitness.